You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello all, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you this week to preview two golf events, the Nedbank Golf Challenge and the OHL Classic at Mayakoba. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting next to me here in the studio. Fresh from his golfing trip in the Algarve. It's a warm welcome to Mr. Dave Tindall.
Hello, yes. Lovely trip to Quinta do Lago or do Lago in Portugal. If you ever get the chance to go there, do.
How did you play?
All right. I'm a sort of off 18, 20, so it's you have your moments, that kind of thing. But three lovely courses there, so it's a really good little... You can do it in a weekend. I did one on Friday, one Saturday, one Sunday.
Very good. And you said you had your moments. That is what it's like for every 18 or 20
yes.
handicap. Was the weather good? That's the most important thing.
The weather was good. We had a tiny bit of rain, but it's when it's raining and it's 20-odd degrees, you don't mind so much as when it's raining and it's freezing.
You won't have seen much of the golf last weekend then, will you?
I didn't see anything. I obviously swished my leaderboard a lot, but I didn't actually see a shot hit. So you can tell me, Dave.
It was a tough week for golf bettors, that's all you can
say.
Yeah,
that seemed evident. Yes.
Yeah, Torbjörn Olesen is like the Michael Hoey 2.0, isn't he? We know he's a special golfer at his best. But he doesn't give any signal
nope.
that he's going to win. And it was the same before last week's win in Turkey. A string of poor performances and then boom, wins. In contention, very good.
Yeah, is that 4 from 4? I think he's led, hasn't he? Led from the front. And yeah, you look at his form going into it, it's just full of missed cuts, a few 50ths. I think 30th was the best in about the last 8 or 9 starts before that. But yeah, he's one of these, if you like him, just back him. Otherwise, you just when are you going to catch him? I don't know.
4 wins in 159 events on tour, which is, relatively speaking, prolific, isn't it?
Yeah.
And on the PGA Tour, an even bigger surprise, with Rod Pampling winning. He was a monster price, opened up with a 60 and ended up winning with a total of 19 under par. And to put that win into perspective, despite opening up with a 60, he was still trading at 14-1 on Thursday night. Rod Pampling, first win on the PGA Tour in 10 years.
Yeah, he won in Florida, didn't he, before that?
The Buick, something like that, I think.
Did he not win Bay Hill or something?
Oh, it could have been Bay Hill,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it is Vegas. That's kind of, you know, what was he, 500-1 or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, just totally unbackable. You do get those kind of weird winners in Vegas. Going back, there was a stream of them maybe 10 years ago. And yeah, somehow seems appropriate when it's sort of in the gambling capital, doesn't it? That some wild long shot goes in. But yeah, one of those ones you just write it off,
don't you? Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
It happens every now and then.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck into this week then. Two good events to focus on here this week. And we've got the Nedbank Golf Challenge as the first one. And Henrik Stenson is the 7-2 favourite for the event. Alex Noren is 18-1. Ross Fisher is 20s. Charles Schwartzel, 22-1. Martin Kaymer, 22-1. It's 25-1 for Brandon Grace, Rafa Cabrera-Bello and Thomas Peters, and 28-1 and bigger the rest. The event has moved slightly in the schedule from December into November. The number of competitors has been increased as well, with the Nedbank now forming the second event in the European Tour's final series. 72 players in the field this week, with the top 60 in the European Tour rankings at the end of the week progressing to play in Dubai in the DP World Tour Championship next week. Rory McIlroy, the only major name that is missing from this list. But I'm not sure why Bernd Wiesberger and Lee Westwood aren't in the field this week. Have you got any idea about that?
No, not really. What, I think they're 11 and 12, aren't they, in the standings? I don't know.
I was reading or attempting to find some information about why they haven't decided to attend on the internet, and I couldn't see anything, so I'm not sure.
I guess Westwood, you know, he's not short of a few quid, and he's he's not going to win the Order of Merit, is he? So
he'd have a good chance this week, though, because he has won twice here, hasn't he?
Yeah, who knows? Wiesberg is the more surprising one, I think, because he, you know, why wouldn't he go for it a bit more?
This looks like the perfect venue for Wiesberg. You think about the demands of the golf course, which hasn't changed, by the way. That's the one thing that hasn't changed, the golf course. The players will descend on the Gary Player Country Club once again. It can be stretched out to a meaty 7,831 yards, but the ball does fly further, so that negates some of the yardage. It does look like the sort of venue Wiesberg would succeed on, though, doesn't it? Where you want that straight drive in that tee to green player to be in check, and that's his strength, really.
Yeah, it certainly is his strength. I mean, the front of the betting. I mean, I think Henrik Stenson is absolutely made for this course, isn't he? And he's won here by eight once. He's got a load of top five finishes, but it is an extreme price, isn't it? 7-2. Not often we see anyone not called, maybe Rory, at that price.
I think it's too short.
Yeah,
Henrik
I do. It's enough to put
me
off.
I think at 5-1, you could be thinking I'll have an each way bet on Henrik Stenson this week. But at 7-2, that is just too short for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though his credentials are so solid,
yeah,
as you've mentioned, it's just too short. For a long time at this venue as well, there was a widely held belief that it was very difficult to overcome this course and win on debut. But the last two winners, Mark Leishman and Danny Willett, were playing the course for the first time. And if you do fancy a debutant strongly, there are more of them in the field this week than ever before with the 72 runners. I wouldn't be putting you off, personally speaking.
No, not really. I mean, it's hard. It's a funny event to sort of get some historical kind of looks on, because for so long I remember this as a 12-man field.
Yes.
All the elite players. Then it went to 30. Even then, it's kind of, well, if a debutant wins out of a field of 30, it's not statistically freakish, is it,
no,
really? If you're a good player as well. So, yeah, the last few years are a bit of a help with 30, but 72, you may be more. It's easier to sort of look back. When this is established for a few years, maybe the form will be easier to assess from this event. But at the moment, it's a bit of a guess, I think, overall.
I've got a couple of picks.
Yeah, me too. I've got two.
Do you want to lead us off then, Mr. Tindall?
Yeah. You'll probably tell me you saw something in the coverage last week that's vastly off-putting. But I'm going to go for a South African in George Kurtse.
Okay, 50-1.
50-1. I just thought it was a good price. He was tied fifth in Turkey, apparently. yeah, he was. And I just looked at the past kind of stats of previous winners here. It seems if you scramble well and putt well,
yeah,
it's a very sort of good combination. All the previous winners have had high stats, high numbers in those. In Turkey, Kurtse was third for scrambling, fifth for putting average. So I thought that was very good. I think he does obviously relish the European Tour coming back to his native South Africa. Two of his three European Tour wins have come in South Africa, and then the other one was Mauritius, which is just off the coast of South Africa. So obviously he does like the home comforts. And not a lot more to add, really. 50-1, I just, you know, when you start looking at the price in your head, you've got...
Yeah, you've got 40s or 33s there.
Yeah, 35s or something. And I know it's Stenson's taking a chunk out of the market, but I just thought some of those each-way places are up for grabs. And he's got some okay form at the course. He played it a few times when it held a Dimension Data Pro-Am.
Yeah.
And he's got a few top 20s, so he'll know it. I'm not sure if he's played it at other times, but he's got a little bit of a head start on the field. But it's more his current form. I think I've been watching him for a while. He has sort of just hinted at something, and that tied fifth in Turkey, maybe just for me, that could be the one that really kicks him on. And he's a massive Liverpool fan.
Oh, so that was a bigger bonus.
Be delighted to see the Reds at
the
top of the
table.
He's
not the only one. You're a massive Liverpool fan as well, Dave. So you must be delighted to see Liverpool going so well.
I'm very delighted. And Danny Willett is a Liverpool fan, and he won here. So there's all the all the correlating form that you need.
I'm going with Thomas Peters as my number one selection. I've no idea who
and
he supports.
I don't know.
He's 25-1. This week, which I think is a decent price,
yeah,
to be honest.
I'll just jump in and say he's my second pick.
Oh,
so
he's your second pick.
You do my work for me here.
Well, I wanted to reference something you mentioned on the podcast after the Ryder Cup, and you said, are we going to see, should we just be backing Thomas Peters at around 16-1 or bigger if he's ever like that price in a European Tour event? And here we are 3 weeks later, and he's 25-1.
And his form's getting better.
His form is getting better. Yeah. His game hasn't been quite as sharp since the Ryder Cup, but his results are improving. Finished tied 50th at the Alfred Dunhill Links before finishing tied 31st in the Portugal Masters. And on his last start, he was tied 14th at the WGC HSBC Champions. You can't be certain this course will suit him perfectly, but if he keeps the ball in play, I think that's going to be crucial. I think he'll score well. Got to be with him on price grounds this week, I think, at 25-1.
Yeah, I'm the same. I just saw that and thought, yeah, that's enough for who he is. He was 7th in putting average in China, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you might think, you know, you've got a big hitter. If he puts well as well, you really are sort of thinking, right, he's got a lot of game there, hasn't he? It's kind of his price is getting bigger as his form is getting better, so I think it might be the perfect sort of storm to catch him.
Do you think length off the tee is crucial around this venue or not?
No, I don't think it's crucial. If you read some of the player quotes, a lot of them say you've got to keep it in play, but we've said this before, that when do they ever say you don't need to keep it in play?
Yeah.
But he can hit it long and he can hit it straight, and clearly it is a long course, so he can boom away at some of these and obviously, he's not just about the driving, is he? He's got so much to offer. So, yeah, again, mentally in my head, I was thinking maybe 18s, 20s to 25s is definitely pull the trigger time.
I agree, 25-1. Thomas Peters for both me and Dave this week. My second selection is Chris Wood at 33-1, a point each way on Wood. Another Ryder Cupper who performed well at Hazeltine, and he does have some course experience as well. He was third here back in December, despite suffering with illness. And he's won one of the most prestigious events on the calendar this season, the BMW PGA Championship, subsequently. And his last two starts since the Ryder Cup have been steady, but not spectacular. Finished in a tie for 22nd at the British Masters and a tie for 23rd at the WGC HSBC Champions event. In a similar way to Peters, I think his problem will come with keeping the ball on the fairway. But if he does, I'd be confident of him getting into contention. As we've mentioned, Henrik Stenson, rock-solid favourite, but if you want to take him on, because he's taking such a large percentage out of the book, some of these players that you would maybe have had in shorter have had to come in at inflated prices because of Stenson's... Stenson's reputation and his course form.
And current form.
Yeah, and current form. He's got everything going for him. That's why he's 72 favourite this week.
Yeah, Wood could have easily gone in at 25s, couldn't he? With no Stenson around. I like Chris Wood. He's one of the very few Europeans who sort of walked away from Hazeltine kind of thinking, I did quite well there, didn't I?
Yes.
Peter's the other one. Peter's, just back to him quickly, he does have a little bit of form in South Africa. He finished tied 8th in the Alfred Dunhill on his, I think it was his penultimate start in South Africa. So he has been there and played well.
I suppose the other guy that I want to mention that did come out of the European Ryder Cup team with credit is Rafa Cabrera Bello, who we've mentioned on this podcast on numerous occasions. He's 25-1. And
I think I've hit the point where I've had enough of sort of thinking it's due one, isn't it?
It does look a good setup for him, though, because he is so strong from tee to green, Cabrera Bello. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he went in.
I think because I was sort of leaning towards players with a sort of sharp, short game, it slightly pulled me away from him a little bit because he's chipping. You know, that can be a weakness, even though it is improved.
Any others you want to mention?
Ross Fisher seems to have a lot going for him, hasn't he? Current form, he's played well at the course. He was 6th in China, and that was a bogey at the last, so he could easily be coming here as a runner-up. But I think the market may have got him at 20-1.
I think so. When Peters is 25-1, I don't want to be backing Ross Fisher at 20-1.
Yeah, I think when you put it in those terms, you think, well, the market really has got him there, 20-1. Same with Alex Noren. He's won 3 times already, and you kind of think, has he used his lives up? I suppose Brandon Grace is in the field this week. He won 4 times on the European Tour in 1 year, so can be done by people not called Rory again. Richard Bland seems to be playing well every week. 50s, that's an each-way price, isn't it, even though he never wins?
Yes.
So there's a few. Maybe Beef Andrew Johnson could go well again.
Yeah, I quite liked the guy that I mentioned on the podcast either last week or the week before. I can't remember offhand, but Kiradek Api Barnerat.
Yeah.
66-1. I think he'll go well. He's got a little bit of form around here. And the other one I liked at a big price is a two-time winner on tour this season, Jung Yun Wang at 125-1. And you mentioned Mauritius earlier on, Dave. He won in Mauritius this season and won in Morocco in back-to-back weeks. And he should enjoy the trip to South Africa. Maybe a touch overpriced at 125s, given that he is a two-time winner this season. And he bounced back to form last week with a tie for 13th in Turkey. So I thought Wang at 125-1 was maybe worth a few quid as an outsider.
Yeah, a couple of mentions. Just for, there's two players in this field who have both finished in the top 10 on their last two starts worldwide. And they are Nacho Elvira, who's had a pair of T9s, okay, and David Lipsky. So if you're going down the form route, I know you like to go with form players. Those two, they're available. Lipsky 66s, Elvira 100s. If you're going down the kind of angle of race to Dubai and they want to get into next week, the man in 60th place right on the bubble is Renato Paratore, so he'll want to protect his position. You think that will give them an edge. And one final mention, Jaco van Zyl was kind of on the leaderboard right near the top all three for the first three rounds last year and then fell away horribly. He's 125, he is a South African.
Yep.
I mean, his form's not great, but he might just come back to life at this course.
I do like Renato Paratore as well. He's 150-1. Yeah. I just think he's going to be a very, very good player on the tour. And 150-1 is not a bad price for Paratore. He has had trouble stringing four rounds together, but he's playing well in patches, Paratore, so he could be worth a look at a big price.
Final mention, just staying on the Italian angle, Matteo Manassero. I know Mike obviously likes to keep an eye on him. He's 150s this week, and he did come back to some form, didn't he, last time out? Played really well for three rounds.
You keep thinking he's coming back, and then he throws in an absolute shocker, doesn't he?
But you could take the view that if I just keep chucking a few quid at 150s, if he does land, you're sailing away, aren't you?
Let's have a look at the other event this week, the OHL Classic at Mayakoba on the PGA Tour. And we head to Mexico for this championship, and it's a return to El Camaleon Golf Club for the events. You only need to look through the list of past winners to see that this isn't a typical PGA Tour venue. And this week we have 16-1 co-favourites of three with William Hill, Emiliano Grillo, John Rahm, and Russell Knox are all 16-1. Harris English is 25-1. Jim Furyk, 25-1. Keegan Bradley and Scott Piercy, both 28s. Billy Horschel, 33s, along with Chris Kirk and Tony Finau. And it is 40-1 and bigger the remainder. The course measures under 7,000 yards. And it's a golf course on which strategy needs to be applied. Greens are small and relatively slow, but there are scoring opportunities. In 2013, Harris English won with a total of 21 under par. 2 years ago, Charlie Hoffman came out on top at 17 under par. And last year, Graham McDowell outlasted Jason Bone and Russell Knox with a winning score of 18 under par. Are you heading down the wily ball striker old man route this week, Dave?
Yeah, if you look at the kind of first few editions of it, you've got Fred Funk, Brian Gay, Mark Wilson all winning, and you're thinking, right, they're the steady Eddie types with experience. But last couple, well, two of the last four, you've got John Hur. He won it when I think he was only 21. Harris English won it at 25. So I think there is scope for some of the young guys to win it. Also, Hur, English, and Johnson Wagner all won it on debut at the course. I don't think you need to have sort of gone along there and come 20th the year before or anything. I think you can win it fresh off the bat. So I don't know if you're going to put up John Rahm, but he was tied 10th, wasn't he, the last time, last year?
He was. He's just too short for me this week. Shorter, 16-1 this week. And I don't think it's... I know he finished 10th here last year, but if you had to select a course for John Rahm, I don't think one under 7,000 yards where strategy needs to be applied would
be... I know what you mean.
Would be absolutely perfect for him.
Yeah.
But I think he's that good.
He could win
he's
on
going
anything.
To be that good. He can win on any course, so he will be able to in the fullness of time. But at 16-1, he wouldn't be for me this week, even though I put him up last week. He was frustrating last week. He makes a ton of birdies and then makes silly bogeys as well. So, yeah, not for me this week, John Rahm, but wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, you could end up sort of chasing him off a cliff, couldn't you, at sort of 20s.
Yeah.
And he needs to maybe... Maybe if he wins one, the floodgates open. But for now, yeah, I'm happy to leave him.
I think I'll be playing him when he's in a deeper field.
At a bigger price.
Yeah. I've got one pick for the event.
Yeah, me too, even though annoyingly he's been cut.
Has he?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to lead off here?
Yeah, you go.
I'm going Mark Leishman
at
50-1. I think it's a good price. Only the one bet for me. He has played this event before, but missed the cut. That was way back in 2009 on his first year on tour, so I'm not going to read too much into that. I'd instead focus on his play in the CIMB Classic on his first start this season. I finished tied for fifth in the event in Kuala Lumpur, which is played on Paspalum Greens. This event is as well.
Well,
I think that's a significant form line for this week. And he finished tied for fourth in Greens in regulation on the week as well, which again I think is a key component around this golf course because the Greens are so small. He isn't able to defend his title at the Ned Bank this year, so he's here instead. He might be revved up because of that.
Yeah.
And he's very strong with the long irons as well, Leishman. So I think this is a golf course at which he can should be able to use them from a positional standpoint off the tee. So I like him this week. And there's an interesting link here with the Travelers Championship. I don't know if you noticed this, but Chris Stroud was runner-up at the Travelers in 2013.
I've got links with loads of other courses, but not that one, actually.
It's weird because I understand that places like Harbour Town and as quite similar in terms of dynamics of the golf course. The Travelers maybe not so much, but Chris Stroud run up in 2013. He's finished fourth, fifth and third in consecutive years at this venue. Russell Knox won it this year, the Travelers Championship, and Jerry Kelly was runner-up. Knox was obviously second, beaten in the playoff here last year. Kelly finished fifth a couple of years ago here and has a sixth-place finish as well. And Charlie Hoffman was beaten by a stroke by Mark Leishman when he won the Travelers in 2012. And Hoffman went on to win this event a couple of years ago. So I think that's an interesting link this week. And given that Leishman putted so well a couple of weeks ago in the CIMB Classic on Paspalum Greens and we're on Paspalum Greens again this week, I think 50-1 is very fair for Mark Leishman this week.
Yeah, that's a good shout, all those.
Yep.
The courses I looked at for correlation, the Sony Open, you can see why it's kind of, it's windy, it's a small...
On the shore?
Yeah, par 70, isn't it? St. Jude, classic. What's that, tent in TPC Memphis, is it? Well, it's in Memphis, isn't it, that court. And Colonial as well, again, a sort of a shorter course. More strategic courses, I think maybe you're trying to group them together on some level, but there is just a lot of correlating form.
Yeah.
However much you think, well, is that got the same as that? Whatever reason it is, the same names do appear. So the one I like who pops up at all of those, and the most relevant, he's won here before, Harris English.
Yes.
25-1. Now that has been cut a bit, which is
from 33s. I think he's popular, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is a popular pick this week. You can see why. He comes into the event with a tied fourth in Vegas last week. That was a kind of bit of logic there in Vegas, even though some of the other players up there are thinking, how did that happen? But shot 467, so very, very good stuff from him. As I said, he won this event 2013. Not only did he won it with 21 under, which is the tournament record. He won by four, which is the biggest ever winning margin there. Shot 62 on the Friday. And as I say, this correlating form. So the Sony Open, he's come third, fourth and ninth there. He's won at St. Jude and he's finished runner-up this year at Colonial. So I think certain courses certainly do play into his hands.
He's spoken as well. When we were going through that list of winners here and a few of them being old boys and then some of them being a bit younger, he's spoken about how his mind works as if he loves those. He loves those tight technical tracks. And another one that I think he's talked about in the past liking is Copperhead. Tight tree-lined golf courses where you've got to put the ball in play rather than just bombs away.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
loves these sort of venues.
Yeah, so something a bit more established rather than somewhere that's just been built in China.
That's probably
something.
The best way of putting it, more established golf courses.
Yeah, so hey, I do like him this week. He's He's obviously a very good putter as well, which is what you need. He was sixth in strokes gained putting last year, 17th on these early season stats for the SGP. Yeah, I can't pretend 25s is amazing or anything, but given all the links he's got on those other courses, his win here is his fourth last week. I think it's okay because there's no obvious winner, favourite, is there? It's not like we've got a Stenson in the field, so... And there's a few doubts over some of those, I think. Keegan Bradley's playing well, isn't he? And he's got some course form. But do you still... He's putting stroke.
Yeah, still isn't... I'm still not fully bought. I can see him making the top 10, but I'm not fully bought into him winning the championship. I do think that the two that I like are right at the top of the betting. Emiliano Grillo, who will play well this week, I think. This golf course is just tailor-made for his game.
Yeah, he likes this sort of test.
He'll love this 16-1. John Rahm, who we've spoken about, 16-1. And Billy Horschel I quite like at 33-1. I mean, he faded a little bit last week, but he's got a couple of decent finishes here. Finished 30th and 13th in his two starts. And this is a golf course that I think... You know, plays to his ball striking strength, so he's another one that I looked at.
Yeah, I say English. I think he's someone who sometimes players sort of always seem to go off at kind of sort of prices, but he has won three times, so I think that's fair enough that he might go off at that sort of price, 25s on a course where, you know, his first visit here he absolutely mullered everybody. So That's fair enough. So he's the one that stands out. Other ones I looked at, Chris Kirk has been playing really well. Even played well in Vegas last week. Just had a horrible weekend. He was third at halfway. He's played really well in this fall series so far. Another former winner I liked at 50s, Johnson Wagner. He's had a lot of good form, actually, if you look back. I think he's had three top fives in his last six starts. So
yes,
he's someone playing well. Someone at 100-1 as well. Fabian Gomez has won kind of on this sort of style. He's won at the Sony and at Memphis, I think. So he's someone who's played well on the correlating courses. A bit hard to catch, but I think if he was someone else.
Yes, you know,
rather than Fabian Gomez, sort of.
He'd be shorter price.
You know, kind of Argentine fellow who doesn't make a big song and dance, he'd be sort of 66s or something.
No, fair point. I think we've been through everything we need to go through this week, Mr. Tindall. Who's the player you don't want to win? Who came closest out of the both events?
Well, Stenson's an obvious shout, isn't he? I still think he probably will win that tournament, but I wouldn't want
to be a backer at 72. Nah. I'd rather lay him at 72 as a bookmaker, I think.
So I'm happy to let him go. I know you've sort of carried the flag for John Rahm. I think I got closer this week to thinking he might win than normal.
Yes.
I think the price has put me off, but I kind of think it's just a matter of time, isn't it?
I'd be frustrated if he did win John Rahm this week, but I can see it happening. I think the player that I don't want to win, if I was having one in the Nedbank Golf Challenge, Jung-Yun Wang, who I mentioned strongly at 125-1, and I think... possibly Billy Horschel at the prices at 33-1 in the OHL Classic would be my couple against the field for players that I don't want to win this week.
Yeah, that seems fair enough.
Recap your selections then, Dave.
Okay, so in South Africa, in the Nedbank, I will go a point each way, George Kurtse at 50-1, and I will go a point and a half each way on Thomas Peters at 25s.
Okay.
Then in the OHL Classic in Mexico, I shall go a point and a half each way, Harris English at 25s.
I'm going to go a point each way, Thomas Peters at 25-1, and a point each way, Chris Wood at 33-1. And in the event at Mayakoba, I'll go a point each way, Mark Leishman. I think my best bet of the week, Leishman, at 50-1. I think that's a good price. Remember, you can follow myself and Dave on Twitter, at D. Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. You can follow Mike as well, at M. Grenham. And thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. Do check out all the betting at williamhill.com and check out the rest of William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill and you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes as well. Thank you for listening, folks. Enjoy the golf this week and we'll be back next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday.
Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.